Grace and peace are yours in abundance in your knowledge of God and your Savior, Jesus Christ. God's word for us today comes from the gospel lesson that you heard from the second chapter of John. Hearing once again verse 11, this, the first of his signs, Jesus did at Cana in Galilee and manifested his glory, and his disciples believed in him. This is God's word. History is filled with memorable debuts. Musicians have a debut single that puts them on the map. Author has a debut novel hit the top of the bestseller charts. Sometimes we refer to these as overnight successes, but in almost every case, a lot of hard work and planning went into making that debut go well. And that's partially what makes Jesus' debut miracle seem a little strange. John calls Jesus' miracle at the wedding of Cana the first of his signs. A sign of what, exactly? Well, a sign of who he is, a flag or a marker saying, I can do anything. I am God's Son in human flesh. But the strange thing is, the miracle at the wedding isn't that dramatic. It's not the debut that you might imagine for the Son of God, where we might dream up a big splash, something to shock the world out there in front of everybody. Jesus changes water into wine so that a wedding reception isn't ruined. That's nice. That saves face for the family, this new family, but it isn't exactly an earth-shattering debut. Or is it? What was Jesus up to at that wedding? What makes things even more odd is that little exchange between Jesus and Mary, his mother. Mary finds out that the wedding party has run out of wine, an embarrassing situation to be sure, and Mary brings her concern to Jesus. She knows what he can do. But his response? He says, "Woman, why do you involve me? My hour is not yet come." You can almost imagine Mary saying, "Don't talk to your mother that way." But she doesn't do that. But this doesn't sound like the Jesus that we see on the Sunday school paintings, the laughing Jesus, the Jesus welcoming the children to snuggle up close, who we imagine was Mr. Nice Guy to everyone that he met. It's challenging, but Jesus means no disrespect. He may have even said these words with a knowing smile on his face. The actor who displays or plays the role of Jesus in the film, The Gospel of John, that's exactly how he plays this verse. But the fact of the matter is, Jesus most likely had an awful lot on his mind sitting there at this wedding. Now think this through with me. Over and over again, when Jesus told stories about the kingdom of God, what did he compare it to most? A wedding banquet. Some decades later, when the Apostle Paul wrote about Jesus' relationship to the church, he compared it to a groom and a bride. The book of Revelation concludes with a vision of a bride waiting for her groom, the church waiting for Jesus to come and make all things new. So rewind now back to Jesus just beginning his ministry, sitting there at this wedding reception. There's laughter and there's joy. And in the midst of this festive scene, it's very likely that Jesus is thinking about his wedding feast. It hasn't happened yet. But wouldn't he have been thinking about his bride? The church? All people who will come to believe in him, and love him, and put their trust in him? It's a beautiful thought to Jesus. It was the joy set before him, to borrow a phrase from the New Testament. And it was also a horrible thought. Why horrible? Because Jesus also knew, in order to cement his relationship with his bride, he would have to pay a terrible price. In order to draw all people to himself in love, he would have to be raised up from the earth and ravaged by physical pain, tormented by the rejection of his Father on the cross. And that's exactly why he tells his mother, "My hour has not yet come." He's talking about the hour of his death, the hour in which he will make an eternal vow to his bride. He knows he has to go through the cross and the tomb to get to the feast. Can you imagine all this potentially on Jesus' mind as he's sitting there with this party going on around him? A party that's about to fail. So he gets up from the table and saves the day by the power of his word. He creates about 150 gallons of premium wine for the guests to enjoy. The master of ceremonies is astounded. Where were they hiding the good stuff? He wonders. Well, his mother knew, and his disciples knew where it had come from. And John tells us that after experiencing this, they believed in him. Do you see what Jesus was up to at this wedding? He uses a real-life, potentially embarrassing situation to make his debut as Lord of the banquet. He gives us a picture of why he has come. What Jesus is doing in the world is setting up the greatest festival celebration that could ever be imagined. He's coming to get his bride, the church, all believers, and he's willing to pay the ultimate price to secure her love. And when he does, when he makes that vow, the joy is complete and will never end. Do you see where this touches your life? Right here, with these gifts on this altar, the party has already started. Jesus brings the sweetest wine and the greatest love to his table, the feast before the feast we call the Lord's Supper or Holy Communion. Isn't it ironic that sin causes many people to keep Jesus at a distance? Why do they do that? Well, in large part, it's because they think that if they go in his direction, if they actually start following Jesus, they won't get to have any more fun. But what the wedding of Cana tells us and what the Lord's Supper tells us is that Jesus brings real celebration. He is, in every meaningful sense, the life of the party. He wants people to have life to the full. And so even now, as we live within a disintegrating culture, Jesus invites us to take his loving sacrifice into ourselves and be restored. Even as we live with broken relationships and unresolved issues, Jesus invites us to be drawn into a life-giving relationship with him. Even as we live in a war with ourselves, battling guilt, battling our own conscience at times, Jesus invites us to come and receive the forgiveness of our sins. He purifies us by the same powerful word that changed water into wine. Every time the Lord's Supper is offered at this altar, you have the opportunity to enter into festival joy that is total, and yet is only a preview of the celebration that's coming. So what do you think of Jesus' debut sign? He sat there in the midst of joy, tasting his coming sorrow, so that in the midst of our sorrow, we can taste the coming joy. It's here for you today. Come to the feast. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, with your sign at Cana, you showed yourself to be the master of festival joy, a feast here that prepares us for the feast that is coming. May we taste its joy today, a joy that is made complete in knowing you, our Savior. In your name we pray. Amen.